Hey, stupid nerds, download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
And action.
What's up? Started.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, man. Just old Monday morning quarantine.
Yeah, man.
Sure don't need to read another hot take on Joe Exotic.
Oh, my God.
Hey, if you're a comic and you have a joke about Tiger King, you don't. Leave it alone. Shit's done.
That's an interesting show, but geez, I didn't think it would be the global phenomenon that it's become this week.
Well, everybody's at home, so you gotta have some. I'm not saying it's not, you should watch it, but just understand that there is no stone left unturned.
Yeah.
With the my hot observation was I didn't like the way he misspelled pizzeria.
I didn't notice that. He misspelled it?
Yeah, he spelled it pizza and then RIA. It's PIZZERIA. You know, like when there's the little things that set you off about a place that have a more underlying, like if a fork's dirty at a restaurant, like, well, the whole kitchen might be filthy. This was the opposite. Everything was chaos in Tiger King. And then that was the thing that bothered me. I'm like, oh yeah, this guy's a bananas fucking wild animal keeper, batshit crazy dude. But also that part bothered me. Like, that made it untrustworthy.
Yeah.
Not the fact that he was probably putting... I mean, is there any spoilers? Or everybody's seen it?
Everybody's seen it, I'm sure.
Yeah, the fact that he was putting, like, donated expired meat from Walmart on the pizza. I'm like, yeah, I could have figured that. But the misspelling. Like,
I liked the dude in the Clutch t-shirt. He just didn't give
a
shit.
Well, of course you did. Yeah. And he was also more of a... The benign character. It seemed like he was there for the right reasons.
And the dude with no legs. I like that dude. He had a cool attitude, cool vibe about
him. Yeah, they were part of that crew of misfits over there that seemed like they were they were concerned for the animals and trying to do it right, at least from the perspective of the way the documentary was made. So
Yeah.
But now, now everybody's seen it. What are you gonna fill the time with now?
Exactly. What have you been doing this week, bud?
I started watching that Hellier. I know people were about it a while ago when it came out. I'm like, all right, well, hey, no better time than the 8 months after the fact and you're under quarantine. So I don't know. I think I fell asleep in the first episode.
I wanted to like that so much. And I'm not shitting on it, you know, good for those folks for making a documentary series, but, it was a whole lot of buildup and not a lot of payoff. I like the concept behind it, but it didn't scratch the itch that I thought it would.
Yeah, it's that weird reverse part where the documentary, which is the same with Tiger King. Like, I heard a podcast first, and then they made a show around it. Like, I was like, all right, what are they? The goblin dwarves of the Kentucky Hills? What's in there?
Yeah, something like that. Wasn't that it? Yeah. Well, it was kind of, I still don't know if it was supposed to be, there was supposed to be a connection to, what was it? The Hopkinsville Goblins that we covered several months ago, little goblins in Kentucky.
Was that part of it?
I don't know. It on the surface, it feels like they might be connected, but, I can't remember if it veered off into something different, but yeah, regardless, I think the premise of that series is, some dude saw little goblins running around his property somewhere in Kentucky or Ohio or somewhere.
Well, what happened in the rest? Did they find him? Did they see him?
I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but
it was
fairly uneventful.
Listen, yeah. Well,
it was pretty anticlimactic. Man,
we had a talk last night. We're like, all right, let's not dwell on the coronavirus shit too much on this episode. Let's get back to being silly.
Yeah.
My hierarchy of what I was willing to believe in when we started this podcast has just shifted into nothing. I still hold out for aliens and UFOs, but man, mm-hmm. everything else has been like, come on, guys. That I like the goblins, fucking goblins.
You don't know, dude. Could be.
No, but my faith shifted from I don't know, so why not believe, into I don't know, but nobody knows, and yeah. I'm going to go with probably not goblins.
Wow.
It's funny because then I was watching that show, and they mentioned some podcast called Euphemet. I'm like, oh, I'll check. I haven't heard of that. When I started listening, they had old Ryan Singer was on that show.
Oh, really?
Talking about his old shape-shifting girlfriend, which that's a TLC show I'm waiting for, is my shape-shifting yes. girlfriend.
Oh, God. Someone needs to give Ryan a show.
I mean, he's doing, like, I want him to have a show that has nothing to do with his life or the supernatural. It's just that he interjects it the same way he does with his comedy. Like he just hosts The Bachelor. He's like, oh, it's tough because Tiffany is jealous of Shannon. Also, one time I was dating a shapeshifter. Her name was Shannon. Anyway, back from commercial. He's about to give a rose out. Like, that's like, who's to say we can't just spice up content like that? We need more weirdos in hosting positions, like trying to slip their agenda in. Like, I'm already watching 90 Day Fiance. You throw one of those characters in with that, uh-huh. you bet your ass you got a hit TV show.
That would be great. Yeah. Ryan would crush that.
Absolutely.
So you've been watching anything else, man? Anything? What have you been doing to pass the time other than watching Hellier?
I'm thriving. I love this. I'm not trying to say that in an insensitive manner. Mm-hmm. And I know shit's tough for, hour to hour folks. Like let's put on the bird. Like I'm well aware that it's difficult out there and it's scary out there and people are mm-hmm. sick, but
absolutely
in the moments for myself right now, like, this is all I want when I'm not doing comedy. Uh-huh. And now everybody's like, you got doing streaming shows. We're going to do this live stream. Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I'm semi-retired, man.
Yeah. So,
and now I'm just behaving full retired.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that, but you've been flirting with the idea of semi-retiring for about a year now, and now you're forced into it.
I'm ready for it. This is how I want to live when I'm off the road anyway.
Uh-huh.
I get up, I was learning some Huey Lewis songs on the electronic drums.
Yeah.
I've been holding off on the shredding, so I don't want to get thrashed and have to go to a hospital, but we took a little neighborhood bike ride around. Rachel and I just cruised around and stopped by, did some COVID greetings, some social distance greetings from people's yards and porches, stopping by to say hi, riding bikes around.
Nice.
Because also the streets are relatively empty. There's still a few people out, but so you can ride with a little more confidence on the city streets.
Mm-hmm.
We took a drive on Saturday up the 2, went up into the mountains.
Oh, I love that drive.
Yeah, I did that. I got realized, like, think about all this stuff. Like, you got anything that's broken, even if it's something you don't care about, a blender or something.
Uh-huh.
Go to YouTube. Try and fix it yourself.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of the
all
two,
these other things.
Speaking of the two, real quick, I wonder if are the campsites, are they shut down?
Campgrounds are closed.
Oh, man. This would be a perfect time to go camping.
I think word is that the campsites are closed.
Okay.
People are going in there pillaging the toilet paper or what have you.
Mm. But going back to your statement there, it's a great time to learn, to teach yourself new skills.
You know, you got the time. So I got to pull some of these RC cars apart and put them back together for no good reason. Tinkering with bikes, fix a neighbor's bike. I played video games a little too late last night. That's the price. These damn video games. These goddamn video games, Dave.
What video games you're into? Conspiracy theory. What you been playing?
Shit, man. A lot of war games. Play a lot of, I'm into the war.
Oh, yeah? A lot of first-person shooters?
A World War II game called Battlefield 5.
Uh-huh.
Playing a soldier defeating the Nazis. But then sometimes you play, and you're one of the Nazis. So who knows? They really change it up on you.
Yeah.
Played that. Played Modern Warfare. It was a demolition derby game called Wreckfest. I was playing with my friends.
That sounds fun.
There's, I mean, I understand that I'm in a place of like, oh yeah, I've, because when I get off the road, I'm kind of a shut-in. So I have my tinkerings already put into place. Some people don't. You know, I don't like, some people didn't piss their money away on stupid stuff like electronic drum sets and theremins in RC cars. And what are they doing now?
The theremin, I forgot about
that. Yeah, they're baking, which is a thing you can do. You can cook food. I mean, ingredients might be a little hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
So what about yourself there, buddy?
I'm good, man. I think I've about kicked the bronchitis.
You were kind of rough shape last time.
Yeah.
It was a bummer.
Yeah.
Last episode was a bummer. Sorry, everybody. It was a bummer. But I was in a bummer mood.
Well, it's understandable.
Like dying.
It's understandable to be in a bummer mood right now. But health-wise, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I've let a few coughs slip here on this episode, but I went from coughing, you know, 3 times a minute now last week to, you know, 3 times an hour now. So I feel like I'm about crested the hill on that bronchitis. I am a bit stressed, though. I think I mentioned this, but Katie's vulnerable to all this nonsense that's going on. She's got a lung thing. About 3 years ago, she got real bad pneumonia and was hospitalized for 17 days, and they removed half of her right lung.
Hey, so who needs two whole lungs anyway?
She's only working on 1.5 lungs, so that's got me stressed out. You know, just anybody in those category, the elderly or people. I think people with Crohn's are vulnerable. People with respiratory issues, lung issues.
Crohn's? Why? Just because the toilet paper? You run out of toilet paper? You got a shit problem?
No, I think that falls under the autoimmune umbrella. I think that affects your immune system.
Okay.
I'm just real stressed about her and just, you know, I mean, I know the mortality rate of this thing's not very high, but just the fact that somebody who's already compromised, you know, if they get it, I'm just scared how quickly.
Rich's got asthma, so she's got to be careful about it.
Yeah, so that's got me stressed. But other than that, I'm hanging in there. I'm also worried about the economic and the civil unrest component to this whole thing. I've been stepping up my neighborhood watch program. I don't think I told you about this last week, but I've been on a nightly basis now. I've been staying up really late, later than usual, just because my whole schedule screwed up. I stay up to about 4 or 5 in the morning now. I go to bed about 4 or 5. I wake up at about 10 or 11 a.m.
I get that schedule.
But about
that's all right.
I started a thing last week, and it's multifunctional, multipurpose. But just to combat the cabin fever, I'll go out late at night, and sometimes I'll take my walks. But I've also started to just go out and sit in my car that's parked right on the main street in front of my apartment. And so I put in about 1 or 2 hours every night around 1 or 2 a.m.
What's the sitting in the car? What's the point of that?
Just to get out of the house. I'm out of the house, but I'm still maintaining social distance, and I'm keeping.
You don't want to just put a lawn chair out?
Yeah, I might do that. But there's something nice about
it's just way less creepy.
Well, I think it's less creepy to sit in the car because, I mean, it's creepy if someone spots me, but I feel like I'm more hidden. You know, I'm cloaked there in the car. So I'll roll down the driver's side window and keep the car off. You know, I don't keep the car running or anything. But then I'll just sit there for an hour or two, and you know, I might listen to a podcast. I might.
You're the reason Neighborhood Watch exists, Dave.
No, I'm.
It was like, who's that guy that just sits in his car for an hour doing nothing at 4 a.m?
I'm keeping an eye on the neighborhoods. What I'm doing.
Who Neighborhood Watches the Neighborhood Watchers?
I don't need watching. Well, maybe I do, but that's been fun because it also, like I said, it serves the purpose of patrolling the neighborhood. But also, I feel like I'm out. You know, I'm getting out of the house. I'm getting off the couch, but I'm still just 15 feet away from my front door. So it's fun and it's therapeutic, and I sit there and I relax and I just stare at the night, much like I used to do in the van because I had no other options back then. But now it's weird that I'm voluntarily going back to.
It sounds a little strange. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It's weird, Dave.
Oh, but it's, you know, if nothing else, it's something to do. Man, I wanted to talk
something
about
to
this.
Do. I go sit in my car. It's not really a thing to do. I don't think taking a drive is a thing.
No,
hey, who am I to judge? Go sit in your car.
It's peaceful. It really is peaceful. I used to do this in the van all the time, like late at night, to just sit there with the window down and just kind of, you know, it's quiet. There's no noise. There's very few people walking around, and it's peaceful. And I keep an eye on shit, so I'm enjoying it. I'm going to keep doing it. So, but I wanted to talk about this real quick, dude. I saw a movie two nights ago. Right. That is one of the craziest, most unique movies I've ever seen.
All right. Was it Wayne's World 2?
And I don't want to... although I did love Wayne's World 2. Drew Barrymore in that. Oh, boy. Vivarium. It's a movie called Vivarium. V-I-V-A-R-I-U-M. I believe I'm spelling that. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly or spelling it correctly. But it's called Vivarium. It's not on the streamers. It's not on Netflix or Hulu or anything. I think it's one of those you got to rent from. You rent it from Prime or rent it from, you know, iTunes or whatever. But
okay,
dude. And I don't want to spoil anything, but I'll just say this: there's a lot of boogie monster undertones, real subtle. Well, some not so subtle.
I don't know if that's how you want to sell this movie.
But I'm saying there's some of the some of
a lot
the,
of poor microphone etiquette and bullshit. Okay, wow, what a flick.
But a lot of and again, I don't. There's okay. I'll come back to this in several weeks when people have had a chance to watch it. But there's one.
Imagine
word.
Eric Bogosian and that talk radio program, but he just farts a lot and doesn't know what he's saying half the time.
There is one word I want to say. But I'm afraid it would be too much of a spoiler. But like, first of all, the movie itself is crazy. The ending is crazy. But then when it ends, you're like, well, what was that? What could that have been? What caused this? And there's one word I want to say that's something we've covered in the Boogie Monster. But I'm not going to say it right now because I'll tell you off the air. But it's one of the most original
movie or documentary.
It's a fictional movie.
I've sprained my fingers putting quotes around documentary.
No, not a documentary. Fictional movie. Stars Jesse Eisenberg. You know, the dude who pops up and everything.
Oh, yeah, he's all right.
Social Network and Zombie Land.
Yeah.
And then there's this. I don't know if she's Irish or British. Really great actress. Very unfortunate name, Imogene Poots, P-O-O-T-S. Poor girl's last name is Poots.
I know who that is too.
Really great though. And it's one of these movies where the cast is incredibly small because of the setting and the plot. So there's those two actors, and then there's a couple more. But like, if I could just off the top of my head,
say the word, Dave. Say the word.
I'm not going to say the word because it'll spoil it. But the Truman Show meets Get Out meets the Twilight Zone. If that gives you any idea, so it's a little bit of a Truman Show vibe, a little bit of a Get Out, a little bit of a Twilight
Vivarium.
Zone.
Vivarium. All right.
Vivarium.
Were you real high?
I was, but still okay. Incredible movie. I don't think that had much of an
effect. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying, I was like, should I put myself in that position? I'm going day on, day off. Like I got drunk Friday. I got a little drunk last night. Saturday, though, kept it cool. You know,
oh, yeah?
I'm not trying to get fucked up every night.
That's good. For a movie night,
all right, it gets stoned, yeah.
I've been trying to use moderation as well, but man, if ever there was a time to just have fun in that regard, I mean, you got nowhere to be, you got nowhere to go,
well,
no responsibilities.
That's what I'm more interested in are people's, like some people are still working from, like Rachel's still working from home, so she still has Monday through Friday as responsibilities, but I'm curious about what are people's routines to keep from getting all wonked out, you know, like what are people doing? Like I'll get up late. I don't wake up by an alarm.
Uh-huh.
I'll go and look at social media for a little bit, get annoyed or pissed or whatever, and then get rid of it after an hour.
Yeah,
I know this isn't some boo boy. How ambitious! Like I try to be out of bed by 11:30 or noon. But then it's like I'm not gonna be. Just on my phone or on my computer looking at Twitter or looking at Instagram or something. It's like, it's also become very repetitive because now everybody's on it and everybody's just throwing shit out there. Like it's not, obviously you curate what you want to see yourself. It's your own museum of what entertains you. But yeah, yeah, Twitter's just Twitter's been a wasteland for a long time. Everybody knew that. Instagram's kind of fun. Some people are doing some fun stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I'm like, I'm not going to look at that all day.
Yeah.
It's especially, we're lucky we're in Southern California. It's nice out.
Well, I'm bummed because they, Long Beach, or I guess all of LA County closed the beaches. They're technically closed down. I was getting some beach walks in before that, but now that's shut down. And I don't even know, you know, if they would, I don't know what that means. If they catch you out there, they're going to write you a ticket. But why even try to bother?
I'm confused. They tell you to go out. It's okay to still get some exercise with distance. Like, we were riding bikes around yesterday. A lot of people were out riding bikes. Uh-huh. I remember respecting this, but everybody's getting exercise. Everybody's jogging. I wonder if, like, the prevalence of people getting therapy and understanding that, like, like mental well-being doesn't have a stigma or as much of a stigma attached to it as like going to therapy and taking care of your mental self.
Yeah.
Isn't as taboo anymore. People are like, yep, I'm going to go exercise. I'm going to do this. And people are aware that like handling that part of your body, handling being physical and will help your mental help. You're helping your mental will help your physical. All these kind of things tie into each other. So
yeah, that's very important.
I saw Shane Torres doing a lot of workouts.
Oh yeah, how's Shane doing? You saw him yesterday?
Yeah, he's stuck out here. He was out here for a show, and then the show obviously got stopped. But he had given up his apartment in New York because he was going to maybe be here for 2 months. Now he's here indefinitely. He doesn't have a place to go back to.
Ah,
so he's doing a lot of prison workouts in a friend's garage.
Good for him. I love Shane.
But you got to do something. It's important to do something. I know it's not easy. Some of you might. I haven't checked the weather back in the Midwest, or if you're in somewhere where it's crummy outside, it's not the easiest thing. Rachel's been doing these like streaming dance classes in the living room.
Just
to get moving. Yeah.
That's fun. I've been slinging the old kettlebell around. That helps. I love the kettlebell.
It just looks like a gorilla exercise.
It's fun.
Like
it's
something you just throw in a zoo encasement.
I like it because it's you get the benefits of a lot, the same benefits that a lot of equipment would give you with one piece of equipment. So that's fun.
You ever accidentally let go of it?
No, not yet. Knock on wood. I'm very cautious.
Is that a compilation?
That.
Yeah. Is that a YouTube compilation I didn't know I needed to see today?
Oh, probably. Oh, kettlebell accidents.
I mean, people throw bowling balls real wild style.
I don't like that. I have seen some gym accident compilations. I don't like that at all. I don't like to see a guy squat 500 pounds and he gets trapped underneath it that stuff. No thanks. That's the one part of like, I've seen gruesome stuff, but like bone breaks and compound fractures and shit like that. Ooh, that's the stuff I got to avoid watching.
I mean, I watch the bike stuff and it's like, part of me is like, ooh, I don't want to watch that because I don't need to know that possible. But also it's like, well, yeah, that's an element of it. Like there's a BMX dude who just fucking busted his spine. Ugh. And part of me is like, I'm like, yeah, you're doing crazy stuff and you got hurt and everybody knows it's part of it. I'm like, oh, were you jumping off roofs without any health insurance whatsoever? Mm. And that's where like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm an old man. I forgot.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? You're doing this without health insurance? I'm like, I got insurance. I don't even want to go putz around on my bike. Mm-mm. But that's me being an old man and thinking like, yeah, well, we shouldn't be in that position as a country where you still... that's a whole other argument. What are some good corona conspiracies? You started to talk about the adrenochrome one last week, and I didn't even know what that one was.
Yeah, and I haven't been able to find much about that. I was trying to do some research.
Maybe because it's...
I think the Reader's Digest version is the adrenochrome is... We talked about it a year or two ago when we were doing the Montauk Project stuff.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the gland, the pineal gland. But yeah, I think the broad strokes is apparently the elites, the celebrities and the elites, that's a drug that they use. And so meaning to harvest that drug, people are killing children and extracting their pineal gland.
So they're using this to get in there.
So I don't understand. One thing I did look into a little bit yesterday was one of the conspiracies that's floating around with the coronavirus is that it's caused by 5G, you know, the new implementation of 5G that's been happening in the, over the last several months. Just and I've seen so much of it already debunked, but like some people are like, oh, 5G started in China. Coronavirus started in China. Russia doesn't.
Orange chicken started in China, so it's orange chicken gave everybody coronavirus.
And I still don't even really know what 5G is. I mean, I know that it has something to do with cell phones and
I had listened to something. Well, they were saying like it's the next whatever in leveling up of cell phone technology. But the way somebody was phrasing it is like that 5G technology is basically like if you think of audio waves, like your 4G is a bass wave.
Okay.
You can hear bass through walls. It travels further.
5G, oh, okay. That makes sense.
5G is more like a treble.
Okay.
So it's a higher frequency. So that high frequency people think is dangerous, except it can't travel. It can't even go through walls. So 5G, like how you have cell phone towers. This is I'm just regurgitating information I've taken in. This is not my own scientific brain, Todd, but they're saying that there's going to have to be so many boxes that can transmit 5G to get the message across. There's never going to be it's never going to be concentrated enough. These waves will never be concentrated enough to be damaging to any person.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, they can't even go through walls. So they're not going to be they're not going to penetrate your skin. They're not going to, you know, give you cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I heard about 5G. I'm sure someone else has some other study.
Yeah, maybe that's something we'll look at. We'll dive a lot deeper into once
we get back. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, a classic Boogie Monster deep dive.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Dude, speaking of not corona conspiracies, but just conspiracy theories, and I'll preface this like we usually do. We try not to get political. And I know that people are just bombarded with anti-Trump stuff. But Jesus Christ, this fucking moron. I mean, it's just getting worse by the day. The conspiracy angle I'm referring to is, I guess, yesterday, during one of his stupid press conferences, he implied that nurses and healthcare workers have stolen thousands and thousands of masks that were meant to be distributed properly, but they've...
There's no real world defense you can make of that guy. Man, just tell him, like, if he dies or something, like, we'll put him on the $1 billion bill. Just like if we can let him really think he's going to go out a hero. But yeah, I can't even get mad about it anymore. I don't watch the press conferences.
It's unbelievable.
I'm going to vote. That's what you could do. Are you voting or you're taking action, but like watching that and getting mad, I'm like, I don't watch any of it.
Okay.
He's not going to do anything that surprises me.
He's
a piece of shit.
It's unbelievable how cartoonishly of a buffoon he is. I'm sure you saw this. He tweeted, he sent out a series of tweets talking about how his TV ratings are so high. Oh, when Trump's on TV, people are dying because of your negligence. Well, and you're tweeting about your goddamn TV ratings.
But like, that's also a reality show. Like, people are watching it. Yeah, because they're laughing at it. It's not, or in this case, to hate it. Just because people are watching it doesn't mean it's good.
He's genuinely.
He doesn't notice that.
He's genuinely mentally deficient. Like, there's genuinely a problem there.
Oh, yeah.
This goes beyond just, I don't agree with his policies. Like, there is a screw loose. There's a wire crossed in his brain. And this is the leader of the free world.
I'm not going to use my capacities to be mad at him. That's only stealing from my life is the amount of time I'm going to spend being pissed off about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to vote. There's a good chance he's going to be president for another 4 years, too.
Yeah,
there's a good chance.
I'm not a Biden fan either. I don't understand how people can look at Trump, look at Biden, and look at Bernie and go, yeah, Biden or Trump. Those are my guys.
Because you're talking to, like, you're asking someone to try sushi for the first time that only thinks cheeseburgers and pizza are the two ways to eat.
Mm, perfectly.
It's not even that weird. It's just fish.
Yeah.
It's uncooked. It's fine. You'll like it if you try it.
And of course, the obvious irony now with Bernie's a socialist. Well, enjoy your stupid check. I mean,
yeah.
Not that we even needed that. I mean, the old argument, fire departments and libraries, you know, everybody partakes in socialism.
Yeah. I'm not, neither of us are incredibly well-versed in the subjects of politics. But guess what? Welcome to 90% of who's voting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've gone past being mad. Anytime I want to get mad, I put it into, I don't pray, but I send out vibes and I hope he dies. That's what I hope. This isn't, I'm not calling for murder or assassination, but I think if you think thoughts and prayers work, then my thoughts and prayers are that Donald Trump chokes on a fucking McNugget right in the Oval Office. And I can hope and pray for that all I want, because hopes and prayers don't work. So all of my energy, all of my false Wiccan warlock vibes go out to the death of the president. So,
I mean, it's just unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. And again, it goes so far beyond disagreeing with certain policies. Like, mm-hmm. George Bush was an idiot. You know, a lot of people didn't like Reagan. But I can't even imagine George Bush behaving granted, Twitter wasn't around then, but even the people that you oppose throughout history, just imagine in the middle of a global pandemic that you arguably are responsible for, your negligence has led to thousands of deaths, you're going to tweet anger, about your TV
take
ratings.
The anger and put it to good use, man. Take the anger and put it into activism. Take the anger and put it into volunteering in your community. Take the anger and steer it into a direction of productivity, because the anger is only going to well up inside you and make you miserable. And then guess what? He won. He's a troll. Trolls don't care of what people think of them. Trolls they've already won. If you get mad at him, he won. That's it. Internet trolls, anybody else, just by responding. He'll die. He'll have to be buried at sea like fucking Bin Laden, because people are going to want to spew shit on that dude's grave.
It's
honorable that we have like a guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, but whoever's going to guard Trump's fucking tomb is there for a reason, because people are going to shove dynamite into that motherfucker's casket. And that's fine. This is how, these are the bubblings of a revolution. Except guess who's got the guns? Mm. Guess which side has the guns?
I think both sides have guns. I know one side probably has a lot more, but.
Well, but, at least the one side is the one taking Facebook pictures in front of Punisher logos.
True. Oh, switching gears, I got some positive news real quick. Are you familiar with John?
About that positive news, baby.
Are you familiar with John Prine, the singer-songwriter?
Yeah, my dad went to high school with him.
No way.
Yeah.
How about that? I know he spent some time in Chicago. He was a mailman in Chicago before he
He's from Maywood, where my dad grew up.
How about that? Small world. Well, he's one of my favorites, and I don't know if you heard yesterday.
He's sick. I know he's sick.
He got the coronavirus. He was hospitalized on Thursday. The news came out on Sunday. His family sent out a tweet and ended it with saying, you know, his situation's critical. As of today of this recording on Monday, apparently he's turning around for the better. You know, he's not out of the woods yet, but he's definitely he's made a positive turn. So that's good news. He's so beloved by so many people. He's one of those, if you're not familiar with him, he's one of those that's critically acclaimed and has a cult following, but not a household name. You know, none of his songs are, you know, kind of like a Leonard Cohen or one of these people that, oh, you know the name, you know he's iconic, but
what's good and what's popular live on opposite coasts a lot of the time.
Absolutely. And it just got me thinking, too, about, obviously, the elderly are very vulnerable to this, but I've started thinking about celebrities, elders, and I am one of my favorite musicians of all time falls under that elderly category. So we need to get the National Guard over to Willie Nelson's house and make sure that he is locked down and safe.
Yeah, everybody's checking on Willie Nelson, checking on Betty White.
Yeah, Betty White. Willie, I think, is 85 or 86. He's in his mid-80s by now, and so that's scary, but
I hope Dick Biondi in Chicago is doing okay. Dick Biondi, radio DJ, Magic 4.3.
Oh, yeah, you've talked about him before. He's way up there in age.
Yeah, that guy's got to be 1,000 years old at this point.
So that's scary, but yeah, good news. Again, not out of the woods yet, but John Prine. Man, if you don't know his work, a good place to start, one of my favorite songs of his is called Please Don't Bury Me, and ironic during this time. But it's just kind of the other thing too. He was very he was a great singer songwriter and very poetic but he also had a great sly sense of humor about him. And I'm speaking in the past tense now, which is weird. But Please Don't Bury Me. It's just basically a song where he talks about what he wants done to his body when he dies. Please don't bury me. And it's just, you know, send my arms to this, send my legs to that. One of my favorite lines is, and the deaf can have both my ears if they don't mind the size.
Who can have them?
The deaf. Deaf people. Oh. And the deaf can have both my ears if they don't mind the size. And just such a funny and interesting song, but so many great songs from
my dad.
Prine.
Yeah, my dad would talk about him. He went to high school with him, and was obviously, you know, somebody from her high school starts making it. So I mentioned him. They played him around a little bit. Remember hearing about him, but yeah, I'm glad he's doing all right. Oh, by the way, Dick Biondi's still alive.
Okay, good.
From my rudimentary Google searching.
Switching gears again, real quick.
So many gears, Dave.
Yeah, so many gears.
An 18-wheeler. Thoughts over there.
Dude, this is how my week's been going. The leads on my notes here for this episode. The first note that I haven't gotten to yet is I got a hold of some really good ham. Got a hold of some really good ham this week, Kyle.
Oh yeah,
I've been on real ham kick. I'm so excited. Unpaid endorsement for Hempler's European brand center cut bacon. Hempler's Hempler. Hempler's.
Where'd you pick that up at?
I picked that up at Gelson's. I don't know regionally how far Gelson's reaches out in the rest of the country, but here in LA, Gelson's is pretty prevalent. I don't shop at Gelson's too much because they're very proud of their products.
It's a mid to high end grocery store.
Yeah, pretty high end. It's pretty pricey stuff.
It's not quite Whole Foods.
Yeah, not quite, but pretty pricey. But with that, you'll find things that you might not find at some of the mid-range grocery stores. But this stuff, it's kind of like a Canadian bacon. It's called center cut bacon, but it's not bacon how we know bacon. It's not the long strips. This is pork shoulder bacon. So it's and it's not the perfectly round stuff that's like on an Egg McMuffin. So it's just kind of a natural cut, like if you were to run a pork shoulder through a slicer. But dude, it is the best shit as far as bacon or ham that I have ever had. And I've just mowed through this whole package. And I find myself doing this at night. I noticed that I'll step out on my front stoop late at night and enjoy my little ham sandwich the same way a smoker might enjoy a cigarette. You know, I take a ham sandwich break, you know, a couple times a day.
Old ham junkie Dave got to go sit in his car, mainline some Iberico.
But yeah, twice yesterday, I stepped outside. I make a little half sandwich, you know. I'll just take one slice of bread, cut it in half, like a little mini half sandwich. But then when you eat four or five of them throughout the day, it really doesn't, you know, it adds up.
Why don't you make a whole sandwich, just eat half of it, and you have the other half waiting for you.
I don't have that type of restraint, obviously.
Okay, all right, it's a control thing.
But yeah, I step out, you know, just kind of stand on the stoop, get some fresh air, watch the neighborhood, and eat a ham sandwich. And, I cannot...
So you label yourself Neighborhood Watch, but all your neighbors see is a guy who eats ham outside and then sits in his car in the middle of the night for no reason.
Oh, yeah. That's me. Hey, sorry about that, buddy. My ear pod fell out, and I guess it hung up on you.
That's all right. That's on you. You're the producer now.
Yeah. I'm controlling the gears.
Yeah, but we're remote again, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I can tell, but
I hope it sounds obviously. Better. I feel like it's going to sound better than it did last week, but yeah. But anyway, very excited about this ham. Hempler's European brand center cut bacon, just already cooked. They smoked it, and it's been a while since I've been this excited about a cold cut, Kyle.
Do you see Andrew Overdahl took some Spam and then mandolin sliced it and air fried it?
I did. That looked pretty damn good.
I was curious about that myself. I almost broke Rachel, we ordered some, we were ordering groceries, you know?
Uh-huh.
And she ordered some hot dogs because they looked fancy, like they had like the packaging, like they were going to be veggie dogs because they had like all this hippy dippy packaging and they were just natural hot dogs, but... I almost broke. I'm like, I'll eat them fucking dogs.
I like those but natural casing dogs.
I have not.
No, still keeping it no meat.
Nope. I had a 17 to 19 shrimp yesterday because that's what the box said was in there.
Uh-huh.
So I had made those. I made a box of shrimp. I guess they were supposed to be for a whole party, but I ate them by myself.
Well, there you go. But you've been eating fish this whole time, right?
Yeah, I'll fuck with fish.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I ain't scared of a fish.
Well, good, man. What else you been eating?
I don't see emotion in a fish's eyes.
I was thinking about you the other day as far as you know, everybody cooking more at home and stuff, and you never really talk too much about what you eat on your vegetarian diet. What are some go-tos? What are some staples in your, diet?
Well, Friday night, Rachel bought a bunch of groceries. I still get a lot of takeout and stuff. You know, or I just if I make a food with ingredients, you'll hear about it. I'll tell you.
Okay.
Because it doesn't happen often.
Uh-huh.
But like Friday night, Rachel, we had some cod. We had some nice cod that she just grilled up in a pan. A little garlic and butter.
Nice.
Asparagus. Had a box of Cheddar Bay biscuits that my sister sent to me that had expired 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So God knows what the original production date was. But we made those. Turned out pretty good for...
You didn't get sick?
Nah, man. Shit. Saturday, I made a sandwich with... I still got that Duke's mayonnaise that you gave me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know when that was from, and it is old.
That was about a year and a half ago.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I see whatever's in there that doesn't look like mayonnaise, and then I just shake the jar real hard till I can't see it anymore.
Mayonnaise don't go bad.
It does not, because I used it, and I feel fine. I use that. I use some Branston pickle sauce.
No, what's that? What's pickle sauce?
Branston's pickle sauce.
I don't know this.
English thing. I think I talked about it on the show before.
Huh. Refresh my memory.
It's almost like an A1 sauce, but with big chunks of pickle in it.
Okay. Huh.
And that goes good with cheese. And I put that, made a sandwich with that. And Rachel was repulsed by it. rightfully so. I mean, I eat stuff in front of her that I know makes her second guess our relationship.
Oh, really?
But, you know, you got to accept the whole individual.
You sure do.
This individual... Eat some stiff mayonnaise. some firm mayo was going on that.
Well, speaking of that, this is a good time.
Tofu.
It's a good time to throw out a recipe. Earlier this week, I think I mentioned it last week. I hadn't got around to cooking it by the time we recorded the last episode. But I bought, last week, I bought a 3-pound turkey breast. And not the pre-packaged turkey breast that sometimes you get. This was from the butcher case, you know, wrapped up in the cellophane with the with the yellow styrofoam, you know, just like you'd
the
buy
good stuff.
Yeah, just like you'd buy a steak or a pork roast or something. But it was just a big ass 3-pound turkey breast with the skin on, the bone, the bottom of the bone still under there. And so what I did with that is I roasted that bastard up, and oh boy, I made a little herb butter first, some softened butter. With a little thyme, a little rosemary, a little Cajun seasoning, a little salt and pepper, mixed all that up, rubbed most of that butter underneath the skin. You got to get up underneath that skin, and just it's almost sexual. You got to kind of pry your fingers all the way down in there and loosen the skin, and find these little pockets to kind of shove the butter in. And
That's sexual.
Yeah, it's a good
loosening
time.
The skin and getting your fingers underneath it is sexual.
Yeah, man, and. Fuck. And then you take some of the butter and rub it on top.
That's homicidal, maybe.
But so you rub the butter all over this breast, under the skin, and then whatever you got left above the skin. And at about 350, you roast it for or bake it, roast it for about an hour and a half. I just put it I put it in a casserole dish, like a roasting dish. Hour and a half at 350. And then you let it rest, and then I sliced it up. So I just made a big, thick, you know, Thanksgiving turkey-style breast slices. And then here's what I did. I made a turkey gravy with those drippings. All right, so obviously you keep all those drippings in that pan. I transferred it to a skillet. But all those drippings and that turkey grease and some of those little bits of turkey, you take all that, you add a little bit of butter and a little bit of flour, and you whisk that up under low heat for about 10-15 minutes because you want to get that flour taste out of there. Mm-hmm. And add a little more seasoning to it if you want. I add a little more rosemary, a little more Cajun seasoning. And you keep messing with that until you get the consistency that you want. If your gravy's too thin, add a little more flour. If it's too thick, you can add a little milk or water or chicken stock. But I got my gravy. So I got my sliced turkey. I got my gravy. And this is something we used to make at the Albert in Atlanta back when I worked there. And I'd never heard of this. I'd never heard of it prior. And when I was learning the menu, I will admit that I was like, well, this seems like kind of a stupid sandwich. Who's going to order this? But it was called the Yankee sandwich. And all it is, and by the way, back then it was great the way we made it, but we were just using deli turkey, like sliced deli turkey. So imagine how good this would be with real good oven roasted turkey. So what you do is it's just three components now. You got the gravy, you got the sliced turkey breast. Then you just take a dumb old piece of white bread. You don't even toast it. You don't even heat it up. Just take a nice piece of sandwich bread, stick it on the plate, put a little gravy on the bread, put your turkey on top of that, and then more gravy on top of that. And it's just bread, gravy, and turkey. And
open-faced turkey sandwich.
Open-faced turkey sandwich. And I ate that every meal for like 3 days straight. It was was delicious. And it's all about the gravy.
I would order that shit at like the Greek diner in my hometown. Like I was like the last World War II vet that still lived there. I love like just drunk and everybody's getting burgers, like an open-faced turkey sandwich.
It is mashed. So satisfying. Yeah. I didn't even do a side. I mean, mashed potatoes would go great with that. But yeah, I was just doing just straight up just bread, turkey, and gravy. And I know it doesn't sound like that great because, like I said, when I was learning how to cook the stuff at the Albert, I was like, ugh, I turned my nose up at that. And then I had one. I was like, no, this is the shit.
Did you ever have that point in your life where like you didn't know better, so you love the processed shit? Like the processed shit was the best.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like McDonald's and fast food and all that stuff.
Oh, it still serves its purpose every now and then. You know, McDonald's double cheeseburger, dude. I mean, yeah, you don't want to eat it on a regular basis, but yeah, every now and then.
No, boy. But like when you didn't realize like, oh, this is what actual natural food and ingredients like gross. I want it all chopped up and formed by robots.
Yeah,
but I remember. In high school, at Thanksgiving, they would have like this turkey and gravy thing in the cafeteria. And I'm sure my memory is deceiving me, but that was some of the best shit I ever ate.
Really?
Cafeteria, turkey and gravy. And I think me and my buddy were both kind of ashamed. We're like, this is great. The next day he's like, man, I think he skipped one of his classes just so he'd go to lunch two times in the day to get it twice. Because they would get it, and then it was, they were like, they would serve, like the, like seniors would come in later in the afternoon to have like a Thanksgiving meal during the week, you know? So that's what they had on the menu. But
oh.
I'm embarrassed because I don't even know what kind of, like, it was like, obviously the, like the reconstituted, mechanically separated, then mechanically reassembled.
Yeah.
For like the weird, like when ham has bubbles in it, you're like, how the fuck?
Or the,
where did this come from? Like what happened? Was my ham scuba diving? Was it, this is one of these snorkel pigs and now it's all bubbled up. It's got the bends and that's why my ham's got bubbles. Cause gross. I'm eating scuba pig.
Ugh. No thanks. There's like
you ain't never had bubbly scuba pig ham?
No.
You thought your ham was good. Wait till you try Bubbles brand scuba pig.
Or like Burger King's classic chicken sandwich, how it's just particle board chicken. Ugh.
Fast food chicken never did it for me. Yeah. Well, we talked about this because then it was always that Wendy's spicy chicken. Mm-hmm.
Which I still think
shit.
I still think that's kind of overrated. A lot of people wave that flag. Like,
but back in the day when nobody was doing the chicken sandwich shit.
Yeah, at least
and you were trying to change up your life a little bit.
Yeah, at least you could tell it's one piece of chicken. It's a breast.
But then I got it once and it was still like had like the grain of meat to it, but it was so bulbous and big. Like, you know, like ham is like, there's no interruption when you're eating ham.
Mm-hmm.
It's consistent through a piece of ham. What am I trying to, like, you know, structure wise.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But chicken, you expect a change in consistency.
Uh-huh.
Like if you're eating a chicken breast, you know, you're still going to hit a bone or a thing or something in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't.
And this
shouldn't get a bone, but if you're eating a boneless breast.
Or not, but like you're going to hit a you're going to see a change.
Tendon. Yeah.
It's something.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just such a large piece of chicken with no change in it, although it wasn't processed, like chopped up and re-put together like a nugget. And it creeped me out. Like it was unnatural enough for me to be like, man, I got to take a break on this stuff. This is weird.
Yeah, I could see how if you're on the fence about trying to quit eating meat, man, you get a hold of a couple of mediocre fast food items and that could push you over the fence.
Yeah, or like that weird one chip of bone that you bite down with your back teeth, ruin your whole meal.
Yeah, and a burger. You get that every now and then with ground beef. Just a
random, I mean, which that makes sense. Like, yeah, it's from an animal. You just didn't want to be reminded of it. Give me these pulsating lumps of science meat. I can't wait to try that. Just a bloody, bulbous, pulsating lump of skinless, boneless, organless cow. They just chop it off from the tubes and seal it up. Excited. Where do you stand on that, Dave? Where do you stand on lab?
Well, you almost just made me throw up. But I'll tell you what.
Why is that what's going to make you throw up?
I don't know. Just the way you described that. It was too Frankenstein.
But see, that's the thing. Like, why should somebody be grossed out by that? Like, go kill a cow.
Mm-hmm.
Go do that. Go through the whole process of slaughtering a cow. And if at the end of it, you're still like, can't wait for the steak.
Yeah.
Then no, by all means, I got no problem with your lifestyle.
Yeah. No, but you're
right.
If
you just want to be like straight up, and I'm not like, again, I don't care if you eat meat or not, but when people are like adamant about like, stop being a pussy, eat a steak. Well, stop being murder for hire. Go do it once and tell me how you feel afterwards.
Yeah.
Go do it and then come back to me. And maybe that'll be the best tasting steak of your life because you earned it and you see what you went through to get it and you have a little more appreciation for it.
That's true, too. Yeah.
Or just go stand on a slaughterhouse floor. Mm. Go do that and let me know.
Yeah. No, I'm guilty of that. I try to put that out of my mind. You know, you don't. That's what pushed me to vegetarianism 12 years ago. Well, that and my ex-girlfriend pressuring me. But saw a couple PETA videos. Saw some factory farming slaughterhouse videos.
And PETA, you know, they're all fucking nutcases too.
So of course, but still, you know, I believe some of the footage I saw was legit, and you can imagine what goes on inside of a factory farm. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's, I almost ate those hot dogs because, like, the package was like, we were nice to these cows. And, like, they had a good life. And then they didn't even know they were going to die. They're just like, man, things are pretty good. And then they're dead. I'm like, yeah, I could probably eat that hot dog.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, get you some turkey breast and make you an open-faced sandwich or a Yankee sandwich or whatever the hell it's called in your region. And, oh, boy. I had such a good time eating this week, Kyle. It was a good food week with the turkey and the ham. Things are good over here, man.
Bad week for society in the future. Good week as far as caloric intake.
let's do a comic of the week real quick.
All right,
buddy of mine. I don't know if you know him or not. Denver comedian Zach Reinert. Do you know Zach?
I do know Zach.
Zach's a good dude. He's a former Marine. Right, I don't know. I think Marines are always Marines. I don't think he's a former Marine. But Zach Reinert, new album out, maybe his first. It's called A Boatload of Jokes. And Zach is more, he leans towards that dark one-liner comedian style.
Yeah.
And but damn good at it. Just damn good. You know, kind of in the vein of like a Jeselnik or someone like that where, you know, the emphasis is on the bait and switch and the one-liner.
He had opened for me in Omaha years back, and I was one of those guys watching. I'm like, who is this fucking dude?
Yeah, great jokes. And A Boatload of Jokes, great name, because a one-liner comic, you know, can in an hour, you know, he could get 500 jokes, squeeze in 400 or 500 jokes in an hour.
Dude, that is the long road to being a comedian, is the one-liner guy.
Yeah, yeah. And the guys that are good at it, it's fun to watch. And Zach is in that category. I listened to that album yesterday, as a matter of fact, and solid stuff. Very funny dude, and one of the prides of Denver. But Zach Reinert, Reinert, A Boatload of Jokes. That's available everywhere that you get comedy albums. So check that out.
You got time? Put on a comedy album. It's audio, so Your hands and eyes are free to tinker with your hobbies. It's a great time to dive into some audio entertainment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, man, nothing really to plug, I'm assuming. Well, okay. Where are we at with public domain right now? You said you knocked out a couple more?
I recorded them. I can't email these fucking video files. I don't even want to start. Okay. They're out there. They will be out there. But
what's available now? Four chapters?
Five. I got five out there.
Okay. On Dracula.
On Dracula.
And that's on YouTube?
That's all over, man. It's on Instagram, TV. It's they're all compiled on YouTube. I was recording them in an audio, like a decent audio file, if you want to just play them all together as a book, you know, as it were.
Yeah.
But I kind of dick around. It's a thing. It's nothing special. But if you want to hear me read Dracula, go check it out.
Well, good times. Good times, buddy. I'll plug the Stonebergs podcast. That's my new podcast with my fiance.
You guys just loving on each other.
Yeah, just a little side project, something to do during this downtime. But we just dropped our third episode yesterday. And that's pretty much everywhere now. It's not on Stitcher yet. I'm having trouble figuring out how to do that. But it is on the Apple/iTunes. It's on Spotify. It's on Google, some of the other stuff. But, yeah, the Stonebergs, just me and the fiance, just talking shit and answering voicemails. We got a phone number set up. People call, leave us a voicemail, and we respond accordingly. And it's real dumb, but we're having a good time with that. So check out the Stonebergs podcast. Also, my kitchen survival guides are still available, volumes 1, 2, and 3. $10 a piece, 16 for 2, all 3 for 20. But offer still stands. If you're in a bind financially due to all this chaos and you don't know how to cook and you're trying to watch the purse strings, give me a holler. I'll send them to you absolutely free. So what the hell do I care? I want you guys to be able to cook and eat well during this nonsense. So just holler at me on Instagram or Twitter or DaveStoneComedy@gmail.com, whatever, if you need those. If you want to buy them, great. If you can't afford them but you still need them, they're on the house. So just holler at me and I'll hook that up. But yeah, man, it's good to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, better spirits this week, baby.
Yeah, glad to hear it, man. And
We're trying.
Yeah, we're ironing out the kinks as far as the technical side of trying to be able to continue doing this while separated and quarantined from each other. So I think I shouldn't have too many issues moving forward as far as putting these out every Tuesday per usual. So, yeah, man. And, oh, by the way, big shout-out to the patrons, patreon.com/boogiemonster. $4 a month, you get the bonus Q&A, which should drop this week, and you also get some version of Dave's Kitchen. This month, instead of a video, I did a food Q&A, a Dave's Kitchen Q&A. But just big shout-out to everybody. I was certain that our numbers would drop off drastically, and I would have understood if that was the case. What with everything going on, and some miracle, we've actually gained patrons this month, Kyle. So how about
shit.
That?
All yeah, right.
We've actually gained. So huge thank you to all the patrons, and really appreciate that. And yeah, again, you know, not begging, but if you're doing okay financially and you got some disposable income and you need some more stupid content, $4 a month, Patreon. That's patreon.com/boogiemonster. And you get the two bonus things every month, and our gratitude as well. So throw that out there. But yeah, man,
you get our gratitude, you sons of bitches.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Stay safe, stay sane, stay healthy, and keep it in the middle of the road.
The Boogie Monster. A podcast network.